The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen.
Daf Petit. Today's daf is being studied in the Shemot Marat Zekanati Yafa Batzara. ורבי אברהם בן אסתר, רוח השם תנחם בגן עדן, אמן. תראה, 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 משה בן ירא, אין לה פרלור, לפרלור, 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 אמן. ובכן תראה, 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 two lines before they get white. Let's review the sugya that we're in now, just to get the background, in order that we can jump into this piece over here. Basically, there was a story of the mother of Rav Shemuel Bar Abba, Mehagronya. So, anyway, she was married already previously to her first husband, and she got, her husband died, and she remarried. So what she did was, when she was still alive, she gifted her Nechse Milog. Nechse Milog is properties that she owns the perot, she owns the goof, she owns the karka, and the husband owns the perot. Anyway, she gifted it to her son from the first marriage. And the son went to the rabbi to bid him and he said, it's a done deal, no problem. Which means, once she dies, it goes to the son. And the husband has no right to take it out. They went to Shmuel. Shmuel said, no, that's not the halakha. She has no right to give it out. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiyah said, what do you want from me? I have a Mishnah to support me. Let's review that Mishnah. The Mishnah basically said that you have a father. The father has property. He gives his son a property when he's alive, which means he's giving the son the goof, and he's keeping for himself perot. Once the father dies, the perot go to the son as well. Subsequently, the son sold the property. When the father was still alive, the son sold the property to a lokayach. So the Gemara over there says, when the father dies, so then the lokayach takes control of the property. So the Yirmiyah came along and said, Lo Shena, it doesn't matter if the son died, or Lo Shena if he didn't die. Meaning that even if the son died and the perot never went to him, the sale is still a sale. Why? Because the Yirmiyah holds that Kinyan perot is lav ki Kinyan haguf tameh. Meaning, the other shita, let's go to the other shita. One shita says, the one that owns the perot, that's like he owns the whole thing. Therefore, you have no right to sell it. The father owns the perot, the son has no right to sell it bechlal. Therefore, they must learn the Mishnah talking about where the father died first, then the son got the perot. Only then do we say, is the lokayach, is the sale a sale? But if the son dies first, then he never got the perot, then he was never able to sell it in the first place, and therefore, the sale is not a sale. Yerbiyah says, no. Kinyan perot lavki kinyan aguf tameh. Therefore, the son had a right to sell it, even though he only had kinyan aguf. Therefore, he does not have to get the perot to sell it. Therefore, even if he dies first, the sale is a sale, and therefore he answered with that the question of the story of the mother of Rav Shemuel. All she had was Kinyan Aguf. The husband was eating perot. She gifted it. So Rabbi said the gift is a gift. And therefore you see why? Because we hold Kinyan Perot Lavke Kinyan Aguf. Therefore the husband, even though he's eating perot, he cannot hold the karkash, cannot stop her from giving it away. And that was his raya from the Mishnah. To that, the Gemara says, "Ahadiruha lekamed Rav Yehuda." So they went back to Rav Yehuda to tell them Rabbi Yirmiyah's proof from the Mishnah. Amar lehu hachi amar Shemuel. He says, "This is what Shemuel said. Zu eno dome lemishnatenu. This is not analogous to the Mishnah, which means you cannot bring a proof from our Mishnah from that Mishnah. Why? Ma'itama amar Rav Yosef bishlama itani ipcha." If the Mishnah would have written the opposite case, HaKotev Nechasav Le'aviv, reverse case. Same case, but exactly reversed. HaKotev Nechasav Le'aviv, the son has karka. And he's writing the karka when he's still alive to his father. He's going to keep the pirot, the father's going to get the
goof, and now the father sells it to somebody else. And to that, we're going to say that if the son, that what? And to that, we're going to say that when he sells it, if the son dies, so then the sale is a sale. And to that, Rav Yirmiyah, if that was the case, there we could learn the deen of what? That even though the son, he retained perot, and he gave the kinyan aguf to the father, so he kept the perot. Oh, so the father sold it. So you see why? And we see the sale is a sale, no matter when the son died. So that would be a good ra'ayah to see that what? The one that has the goof is able to sell it. However, that's not the case of the Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah is reverse. Our case is what? The kinyan perot, the kinyan aguf, the hashta diktani, hakotev nechasav libno, mishum dira'uy li yorshohu. But here, it's got nothing to do with kinyan perot, lav ki kinyan aguf. Why? Because the case of the Mishnah was talking about the father gifted it to the son. Now, you wanted to bring it out to review the ra'ayah. I'm going to say it over. The ra'ayah that Ibrahim wanted to bring is gifting it to the son, and the son sold it. Oh, so you see, even though the son only has kinyan aguf, he could sell it. Right? Because the father had the perot. So you see what? The one that has the goof can sell it. Similarly, this the mother of Rav Shmuel Bar Hagronya was able to gift the karka to her for her son for the first marriage because she had the goof. So Rav Yosef says, no raya. Because I'll tell you the reason the Mishnah says that the son could sell it because he's a yoresh. Meaning what? He's going to yoresh the father anyway. So even if you want to tell me kinyan perot ki kinyan haguf tami, and really the one that has the perot, he has the rights to sell it, for the son really would not have the rights to sell it. But you know what? In this case over here, why did he give it over to his son? He must have given over to his son to give him extra strength. He wants to give it to Mehayim, he's going to get it anyway. Wait till you die. He gave it to him to give him extra strength and he can sell it now. So when it comes to a yoresh, even if you hold kinyan perot ki kinyan haguf tami, it doesn't matter. A yoresh is different. Because yoresh, you're empowering him extra to sell it from now. So we have no raya. If the case would have been reversed, where the son is gifting it to the father, and you say that the father could sell it, then already you bring me a nice raya. That even though the father has goof, he could sell it. The sale is a sale. Masha'ik, and the way, right, the Mishnah said the case was the father's giving it to the son, even if you say kinyan perot, kinyan aguf normally, and therefore the one that owns the perot, he has control of the whole thing. But this case is different, since he gave it to a yoresh, within yoresh anyway, so why do you give it to him now? Because he wants to empower him to sell it. But in a regular case, like we're talking about over here, could be not. So therefore you have no ra'ayah, Rabbi Yosef says, from our Mishnah. Amar Abaye, Terat Abaye comes up and says, hold it. Atu bera yarit abba, abba lo yarit bera. What are you talking about? Just like a son inherits a father in certain scenarios can inherit a son. For example, the son has no sons, and therefore the money of the son goes to the father. So therefore, Michi, what are you saying, Rabbi Yosef? Your logic is not so, because just like you're telling me that what? You tell me, if the Braita would have said this, if Hashem would have said this way, where the son is giving it to the father, we have an ayah. Why do you have an ayah with it either? It's also a story of inheritance. And just once it's a story of inheritance, you have no ayah, because I can say he's giving it in order to strengthen his position.
Let's turn it off.
So comes the Gemara and says, Ela. Ela, you have to say like this. La'avruhinu l'nikse mibere ka'ate. Which means, what's the pshat? Why is the guy giving it to his? Why is the son giving it to the father? Because the son has a son, obviously. And for some reason, he doesn't want to give the yerusha to his own son, so he gives it to his father mehayim. So just like you're going to learn that case where the son is gifting it to the father in order to escape it from his own son, la avruhinu l'nechsem mebereka ate. Hakana mehir also la avruhinu l'nechsem ahohi ate. Which is this guy over here, the father, when he's giving it to the son, gifting it mehayim, why? Because he doesn't want to give it to the other brothers. He doesn't want his other sons to benefit from it. And therefore, that's really the case of the Mishnah. And therefore, if that's the case of the Mishnah, Adraba, you have a ra'ayah seemingly for Rav Yirmiyah. Meaning, Bottom line, whoever is getting the money, whether the father is getting it, or whether it's the reverse way, where the son is getting it, he at best has only kinyan aguf. And why is the father doing it, and why is the son doing it? Because the father doesn't want the other children to get it, so he's giving it to the one son, Mehayim. And the son doesn't want his sons to get it, so he's giving it to the father, Mehayim. But either way, bottom line, at most he's giving him his kinyan aguf. And the Mishnah says clearly what? You can sell it. And therefore, if you can sell it, that means the one that has the kinyan aguf is the one that has the power. And the pirot does not hold it back. So therefore, back to Rav Yehuda, or back to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, you came along and said, no ra'ayah from this Mishnah. Why no ra'ayah from this Mishnah? Which means, lechaora, you have a ra'ayah. A father, no matter what you learned the case, whether you learned the case like the Mishnah said, or you learned the reverse case. The Mishnah's case was, the father wanted to give it to the son. The reverse case would be the son wanted to give it to the brother. No matter how you're learning, bottom line, why do they want to do it? What's the underpinnings why they want to do it? Because they want to divert it from another son. Right? The father's giving it to this son, Mihai, because he doesn't want to give it to the other kids. And the son is giving it to the father, Mihai, because he doesn't want to give it to his own children. But bottom line, what is they giving over, Mihaiim? Kinyan aguf. And what does that kinyan aguf allow me to do, the Mishnah says? Sell it. So therefore, you see what? The one that has kinyan aguf can sell. So now we have an ayah for the case of Shemuel's mother, was able to sell the property. So now we got to go back. Rabbi Yosef, what did you mean when you said, in the ayah in Mishnatenu? The Chara, there is a Mishnah. Elamai en adome the Mishnatenu. What did you mean when you said it's not dome the Mishnatenu? So Gemara says a new hadush, and this is the bottom proof of Shmuel. Mishum takanat Usha. The famous takana at Usha. Usha was a betin, right? Sanhedrin. Davar of Yosef bar Harina, beUsha at Kinu. Usha made a takana. Aisha shemachram benichsem milog b'chaye ba'ala. A lady sells her nichsem milog when the husband's still alive. Umeta, and then she dies. Habaal motzi miyad alakuchot. That's the key that you have to remember. Takanat Usha. Let's show you what's takanat Usha. A lady has nechsem milog when she's married. The deen is, if she sells it when she's alive, so a guy bought the nechsem milog now. What could the guy buy? The guy bought the goof. The perot, the husband's still eating. Now what? The lady dies. I would say, lady dies. Now, she gets, it belongs to the guy. He gets it. So the deen is, no. Takanat Usha said that when a lady sells her nechsem milog to somebody else, and then she dies b'chaye ba'ala, the ba'al can come along and take the property away from the lokayah. Why? Because they were concerned about eva. They were worried about fights. A guy gets married, he knows that the lady has an asset. So now all of a sudden, what's she going to do? She's going to go sell the asset away. And you're going to have problems now. He married her, knowing she has this asset. It's going to come to him one day, maybe. So therefore, the takana usha was what? To keep shalom. So therefore, if she sells it and she dies, the husband goes to Lokeya and take it back. Similarly, in this story of the mother of Rav Shmuel. Right. She got married a second time. The husband saw this nechsem milog. She sold it. Right. So she sold it. She gave it to her first son. The reason why Shmuel said no sale was of takanat usha. Takanat usha is no matter what the lady does to the nechsem milog and then she dies, it goes right back to the husband. That was Shmuel's logic why it's not going to work. Basically because of this takana. Look at Rashi. Bottom line. Be'usha et kinu. Ta'afagav de'ba'al ma'laf ki kinyan aguf dameh. Which is really, I'll tell you all day long, all everywhere else. Kinyan perot laf ki kinyan aguf dameh. And therefore really the one that has the kinyan aguf, he can sell it. The one that has the perot cannot hold him back. Mashiach, when it comes to ketubah, or not ketubah, when it comes to nechsem milog, that's a special deen. When it comes to marriage, even though she has the goof, and even though normally the one that has the goof can sell it, not by nechsem milog. Why? Mishum eba. As she says, the rabbi strengthened l'she'abudeh, mishum eba.
He's considered first. He comes first. Therefore, even if you sold it to somebody else, when she dies, he gets it first. So that's why Shmuel argued on the Birmiyah, because he was employing Takanat Usha. Amar Rav Idi Bar Avin, Af Anan Namitanina. We also learned the Takana of Usha in the following context. Okay, simple case. Guy come to witness, come along and say, we testify this guy gave a get to his wife and already paid the ketubah. And what? He is tahtav. They're still living together. They still see them living as man and wife. Now what happened? Now these witnesses ended up becoming zomimin. Now let's think ourselves. That means they came along and said this lady got a ketubah yet. They were lying. What were they trying to mafsid the lady? They tried to mafsid a ketubah. Because by saying that she got paid the ketubah, really there wasn't a divorce. Which is now, if the husband would give another divorce, she's losing ketubah based on these witnesses. So the chaura, the edim zumi would have to pay what? The lady, the amount of the ketubah. However, it says, en omnim yishalmu kol ketubata. We don't say that they have to pay the entire ketubah. They have to pay the value of a ketubah, of the option of a ketubah. What's the option of a ketubah? What is this tovat hana'at of ketubah? Omdim, they make a calculation. Kama adam rotze liten b'ketubah shel zu. It's really an option. She has a ketubah, she has a document. It's a safek. Is there going to be a payout or is there not going to be a payout? If she dies first, there's no payout. The husband gets the ketubah back. If he dies or she gets divorced, there's a payout. So therefore, a guy's willing to buy an option on the ketubah, listen, you're taking a risk. If I die first, the option that you bought is worthless. Correct? But she needs the money now. So let's say the ketubah is worth a $10,000 ketubah. Guy be willing to pay her? I'll pay $2,000 right now. On the chance that what? I might get an additional 8,000 in the case of the ketubah is paid out. Now, the ketubah might not even be paid out. If she dies first, he loses. So therefore, omdim, kama adam rotze liten b'ketubah shezu she'im nit'armela, if she became almana, I mean the husband died, or nitgarsha, oh there's a payout, ve'im meta, but if she dies, yirashen ba'ala. Okay, good. Now why, incidentally, is that what the Edim Zomim have to pay? The Chaura, the Edim Zomim would try to be mafsida the entire ketubah. Why do we say the Edim Zomim only have to pay the tovat hana'ah of a ketubah? What's the rationale for that? So that she says, because you can't make the Edim Zomim pay for something that might never have manifested. Meaning, Bishlamaf, Edim Zomim come along and say, the guy owes $1,000. So you were trying to give the guy $1,000. That's special. You got to pay $1,000 if you find better terms with him. Here, you can't say for sure they were coming to Mafsid or Ketubah. It might not have ever come to fruition. Because if she would have died first, there's no Ketubah Bechlal. So therefore, the Edim Zomimim only have to pay the option of the Ketubah. How much would she be able? That's something that's realistic. This Ketubah, right now that she's alive, she can sell the Ketubah for a certain amount of money. She cannot sell the Ketubah that was paid already. It's a ketubah that was paid already. It's worthless. So you are coming to definitely mafsida is how much you would be able to fetch for this ketubah in the present time. So the Gemara says, and here's the proof. Now, if you're going to tell me that there's no such thing as takanat usha, amai irashena ba'ala, why are you telling me that the husband is going to be yoresha? Which means if she dies first, the husband is yoresh. Tazbin ketubata legamre. Let her sell her ketubah in totality. What is the question? Which means, if let's say you're telling me that what? That there's no takanat usha. And therefore a lady can sell her nechasim, her property, when the husband's still alive. Now in the ketubah is properties. Some of the properties in the ketubah, one of them is called Nechse Son Barzel. What is Nechse Son Barzel? That's the dowry that the lady brings into the marriage. And the husband assumes that dowry. And in the case where there's, let's say, a divorce or something, he pays her the value of that dowry. But the dowry goes to the husband. That's what Nechse Son Barzel are. Log, we said, is she keeps the goof for the property and he just eats perot. In any event, if you tell me that there's no such thing as takanat usha, what do you tell me over here? She could have sold not only the option of the ketubah, she could have sold the value of the nechses on barzel, which means she has all that money coming to her, this nedunya money, and therefore, it's a lot of money. And therefore, she could have sold all that money to somebody else, all that option to somebody else of that property. And therefore, the edim zomimim lechaura were coming to be mafsid much more than just the option of the ketubah. I'll read you that over here. The isa kadatach letra takanat usha amai yirashena ba'la, which means, why are you telling me that the lokea is mafsid? You tell me if she dies, the lokea loses out. Because all the thing goes back to the, because the husband, again, get the language of the Bera Avdere. The Vedaita said, Yirashena Ba'la. What does Yirashena Ba'la mean? If she dies, the husband is Yoresh. If she dies first, the husband is Yoresh. So the Gemara is asking, if you're not going to say Tekarat Usha, why is the husband Yoresh? The money should go to the Lokeya, which means she should be able to sell the Nechse Son Barzel. She could sell the properties that she has, and the Lokeya will keep that. Why are you telling me in the case that she dies, the Lokeya is going to lose? It's not so. She could sell it in the Hayim, and therefore, even though she dies, the guy got the guy gets the Nechsesum Bazo that she sold. And therefore, must be because it's Tekarat Usha. And therefore, the guy is going to lose out, really. Because if she dies, the money is going to go back to the original husband. That's why it says Yirashena Ba'la. That Gemara's Amar Abaye, Im Amru Benechse Milog, Yomru Benechse Son Barzel. Gemara says, Abaye says, what do you mean? If we said this deen by Nechse Milog, that her, whatever she sold, goes back to the, whatever she sold is sold, Yomru Benechse Son Barzel, are we going to say by Son Barzel? Rashi. Im amru benechse milog shetuchal demochra, and that she could sell them. Ve'en abal motzi miyad alekuhot sharei im pehatu pehatula vimotiru otirula yomru benechse son barzel bechtuvata dainu nedunya shechnisa lo beshuma mebet abiyadek, the dowry that she brings in from her father's house, vekotvin ata bechtuvata, and they write the amount in the ketubah of how much dowry she brought in, umekabel alav hatan, and the hatan accepts upon himself aharayut, the responsibility. And if he puts a certain amount, I'm going to pay you, if there's a divorce, $10,000, whatever the money is, a set price. And if the price went down, he loses out. If the price went up, he benefits. Which means like this. Let's review. The Gemara told me there was a takana called takanat usha. What does takanat usha mean? If a lady sells her nechsim midlog in the lifetime of the husband, when she dies, the husband can take the lekuchot back. Can take the item back. That's takana. Why did you do that? Mishum eva. I'll bring a ra'ya to this. What's a ra'ya to this? Witnesses come along and say, this guy got divorced and he paid the ketubah. So what do we say? Oh, they were trying to be mafsid a certain amount of the ketubah to the lady, so they have to pay tovat hana'ah, how much the ketubah would be worth. Correct? So the Gemara says, oh, that's an ayat, that must be takanat usha. How do you calculate tovat hana'ah the ketubah? How much a person would be willing to pay for this ketubah now, on the side that he might get paid, but he might not get paid? Because imeta, that is going to go back yidashena ba'la. Now why yidashena ba'la? The chaura, if you're telling me there's no takanat usha, why yidashena ba'la? If she dies, the whatever she sold will remain by the Lokeya. So therefore, she's able to sell it for much more because she's able to give the Lekuhot, they're not going to lose out. Even if she dies first, she can sell the Nechseh Son Barzel. So the Gemara says, that's a Raya, that must be Takarat Usha. So there's no Raya. Says, for sure, when it comes to Nechseh Son Barzel, she doesn't have a right to sell because that's not hers. Nechseh Son Barzel belongs to the husband. You have to bring me the Raya by Nechseh Midlog, which means, bring me Ra'ayaf Tekanat, you can bring me Ra'ayaf Tekanat Usha from this case over here. The reason why the Lokeya cannot keep the Lekuhot when the husband dies, when she dies, is because we're talking about Nechseh Son Barzel over. So, Im Amru, if they said Nechseh Midlog, That's already, we have to find miraya for the kanusha. You can't bring miraya from nechsin sumah because nechsin sumah belongs to the husband. Nechsin belong to the isha. She owns the goof. So the Gemara thought to bring me a ra'aya, that is tekanat usha. What was the ra'aya again? I'm saying again. What was the ra'aya? Basically, the Gemara's ra'aya is maybe really there's no tekanat usha. And I'll tell you what, nechsin melokim, she says mechayim, it's a sale. But you bring me a ra'aya from nechsin sum barzel. Nechsin sum barzel, of course she cannot sell, because it's not hers to sell. Nechsin sum barzel belongs to the husband. So therefore, that's why the Gemara said, imeta yirashena ba'ala, because it will go back to the husband. Because she has no right to sell the nechsin sum barzel. So you have no ra'aya that tekanat usha was made by nechsin melok. Because this is going to talk about nechsin sum barzel. And badai nechsin melok, we can all agree, will go back to the husband. Because she has no right to sell. But maybe in Nechlam, maybe Nechsim and Log, there was no Tekrat Usha. Maybe in Nechlam, because she could sell it, Nechayim, and it would stay. So then we have no Ra'aya. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaye. Tovat Hana'a. I once already was talking about this concept of Tovat Hana'a, meaning the way you calculate the Ketuvah, the option of the Ketuvah, which is worth. Huil Ba'atali Adan. Since already we're talking about this concept of Tovat Hana'a, Nema Ba Milta. Let's say a Hadush about it. Tovat Hana'a Le'isha Havya. Okay. When the lady sells the Ketuvah, the option. To somebody else. Who gets that money? The lady gets the money. Who's going to get the money? The Gemara says, because if you're going to say that the husband gets it, let the edim zomim come along and say, I didn't mafsid you anything. Why? The husband would have taken it anyway. Just the edim zomim in our case says, he got divorced and they paid the ketubah. They became zomimim. So what do we say? They have to pay the lady. Now, that's because the lady must get the money. When she sells Tovat Hana'a. But if the husband was getting the Tovat Hana'a anyway, so the Edim would come along and say, we didn't mafsid you anything. Even if you would have sold him a Tovat Hana'a, you would have to give the money to the husband. So for the Edim Zomim would be off the hook. So the fact that the Edim Zomim have to pay Tovat Hana'a must be because the lady gets that money. There must be no proof. Amar Rav Shalman, Mishum Dika Revach Beta. No, she loses that anyway. Even if you say the money goes to the husband, that is more money in the family. She benefits from the extra surplus of the money. So therefore, you cause her upset as well. Understand that? Which is, even if you give the money to the husband, the husband has more spending money. So therefore, she loses that as well. Because that is, there's no revach b'dan, there's no extra spending money for her. So therefore, it's still a hefsed for her as well. Amar Rav Hilchita, Tovat Hana'a l'isha. Tovat Hana'a goes to the lady. Ve'en abal ochel perot. Oh, not only Tovat Hana'a goes to the lady. That's her money, and the husband doesn't eat perot from that money. Meaning, she doesn't have to take that money that she sold the ketubah for and buy karka, and let the husband eat perot. My tama, what is the reason? Pera tekinu l'rabbanan. Pera de pera la tekinu l'rabbanan. Which means, listen, the rabbis were metekin certain perot for the husband, and certain perot, they were not metekin for the husband. Perot of nechse milog, the rabbi said, the husband gets. But pera de pera, that's a borrowed terminology. It means other forms of perot, like this, where the fruit of the Tovat Hana'a, the rabbis didn't make a tekin. Not every item does the husband have his hands on. He has the hands on nechse sumazel. Good. He has his hands on nechse milog legabe perot. This concept of the Torah Tanah, the rabbis didn't empower him. Ki atar papav rabbi abed rav Yoshua beberav am nitanin of tekanat usha. We learned in the Mishnah tekanat usha. Why? Ha'ish ha'eved va'isha pegi atanah. Our Mishnah. Getting involved with an eved and a lady when it comes to mazikim is a bad deal. Why? Ha'chovel ba'em hayav. You damage them, you got to pay them. But if they damage you, they're patur. Now, why are they patur? Because we said the lady doesn't have any money. All the money that she has belongs to the husband. So how can ever get paid? So if it's not a good deal, right? So Gemara says, what are you talking? If you hold that there's no such thing as tekanat usha, very simple. She has money. Let us sell her nechsem midlog. And the sale will be a good sale. She'll get the money. She'll pay the guy that she damaged. Ella, you see from the Mishnah, must be the tekanat usha, that she cannot sell the nechse milog, and therefore, that's why a pigi atana. V'letamech, yehi namid iti the tekanat usha, v'lo matzi mizdamna legamre, tezaben the nechse milog betovat tana'a, v'titen le. Oh, true. Let's call this tekanat usha. Okay, therefore, so she cannot sell nechse milog. But still, she could sell the option of the nechse milog. There's still an option on it, which means she has nechse milog. She could tell it to the guy and say, listen, in the event that I get divorced, or my husband dies first, You get the next Nexemelog, it goes to you. You're right, in the event that I die first, the Nexemelog is going to go to Mazmit. That Nexemelog has a value. So therefore, what are you telling me? Even with Tekarat Usha, why is Pigiyah Tadna'ah? The Chavarat is, she always has something to sell. Maybe she cannot give the Nexemelog away, but she can sell the option, and therefore can pay the guy. So Gemara says, you know what the pshat is? Why Pigiyah Tadna'ah? Mishum Ela Deletla. She would talk about a case where she does not have Nixem Elog. So therefore, our Mishnah has no ra'ayah for Tekarat Usha. Because I can tell you, really, we hold of Tekarat Usha. Also, how come in the Mishnah says Pigiyah Tadna'ah? Because we're talking about a case where there's no Nixem Elog Bechlal. There's no Nixem Elog Lag. Tekarat Usha, she cannot give him the Nixem Elog. Nixem Elog will go right back to the husband. But still, she could have sold the option of Nixem Elog. Ela, why is the Mishnah saying Pigiyah Tadna'ah? Because we must be doing a case where there's no Nixem Elog at all. So you have no ra'ayah from our Mishnah like a bit Tekarat Usha. Because we're talking about a case where there's no Nixem Milog at all. Because if there was a Nixem Milog, there would not be Pigiyah Tadna'ah. It would not be a bad deal if you damage the lady. Because she would have always something to pay back. She could have sold the option of Nixem Milog. But Gemara says, wait, we're not finished. Hold it. Why are you saying Pigiyah Tadna'ah? Let her sell a ketubah b'tubah tana'ah. She has a ketubah. Let her go sell her ketubah. Somebody will buy it, and with that money, pay back the guy you damaged. Gemara says, "Hamani, Rabbi Meiri, Tamar Asuda Adam Sheyashet Ishto Afilu Sha'ah Habelo Ketubah." We're going like Rabbi Meiri that says you cannot live with a lady for 1 second, even without a ketubah. So that's not an option to sell the ketubah, because we don't want to make it easy for a husband to divorce his wife. The thing that holds him back, he's got to pay the ketubah. But if there's no ketubah, then already she sold the option of the ketubah. So therefore, it's easier for him to get divorced. So the Gemara says, "What are you talking about? What's the logic why it's easy for a husband to get divorced? She doesn't have a ketubah." But wait. Well, where's the ketubah? She sold the ketubah to somebody else. Now what's going to happen if they get divorced? He didn't have to pay that guy. So what's the difference? Either way, he's got to pay. So the Gemara says, the reason why Shaiyah always has the ketubah, so it won't be easy in his eyes to divorce. Hacha lo megareshla. He's not going to divorce her because the guy that bought the option of the ketubah is going to come along and claim it. So, but what are you telling me? Oh, a lady cannot live without a ketubah. Go with the logic. Why can't you live without a ketubah? Because it'll be easy from divorce. So she sold the option to somebody else. It's also not going to be easy from divorce. Because why? Because he has to pay that guy. So then we're back to the question. Why don't we say in the Mishnah, let her sell the option of the ketubah to somebody and pay back? Ela tovatana'a milininu. Because it's not sellable. When you're selling an option, what are you selling? You're selling words. If this happens, so mili is words. There's no shi'bud on something. It's not something that you're able to pay for to make a kinyan on words, and therefore you cannot obligate it to pay b'tovatana'ah in order to pay for this over here. You're not selling an item. It's an obligation. Now, in the event that this happens over there, you can get my ketubah. So the Gemara says, that's not an item that you could... A lady cannot be mishabed herself on mealy. It's not. It won't go through. It won't go through. So the Gemara says, alam alo, why not? Mealy de mizdamne b'denarinu. Yes, this mealy over here, there's a price, which means... This shtar over here is not just me. It's not like me going around to somebody selling you words. This shtar over has a value on the market. It's a mamash, it's an option. And therefore, why not? This type of meaty that has a shtar, the chaura, I can sell it for money. So again, back to the question, why don't you sell the shtar for tovatana'ah? Ela mishum de Shmuel. No reason. Ve'amar Shmuel ha-mocher shtar chov l'chaviro. This is the case. A guy sells shtar chov to chaviro. Which is the case of mocher shtar chov? I'm owed $1,000. I have a shtar. And I say, you know what? I need money now. I go to somebody else. I'm Reuven. I go to Shimon. I say, remember, Shimon, the shtar of Levi owes me $1,000. I'm willing to sell you the shtar. How much you want to give me right now for it? You know what? The option. What's the option? Give me $500 right now, and you collect it from him whenever. Okay, so give me the $500. Guess what I can do? The Gemara says, "I'm mocher shtar chov l'chaviro b'chazar u'mahalo." Now I go to Levi. I'm Reuven. I say, "But I'm mocher you." Now, being mocher him, I ruined the guy's position on the option that he just bought. The deen is mahul.
Mahol, I'm allowed to do that over there.
There's a chance he
does. That, the afilu yoresh mohel, which means, let's say the malvez yoresh, the guy that lent the money, died. His son comes along and tells Levi, I'm mohel, my father's item. What's the deen? It's also mahol. Oh, so therefore over here, in this case over here, what's going to happen? She's going to go, okay, she damaged somebody. Right? So we came along and says, she has no money to pay. No pigat hana'a. Let her go, sell the ketubah, betuvat hana'a, and take that money, and go pay the guy. So the Gemara says, that's not an option. Why? Because what's going to happen? She's going to sell the option to the Uven. Okay, then she's going to go home and tell the husband, I'm mochel the ketubah to you. Now what's going to happen? The lokeah gets ruined. We're not going to put a lokeah in a weak position where he's going to buy an option and 2 seconds later she's mochel the ketubah to the husband. Again, she could be mochel the ketubah to the husband. So therefore, which means she's going to get money. Correct, she gets money. She'll take the money, she'll go give it to the guy that she damaged. But bottom line, we're not going to let you sell it to about an hour to somebody that's going to get ruined. Because what's going to happen? She go home and be mochel. And the mechila works. So the Gemara says, Amre zabune zabin v'titenle v'imachna legabe ba'al temhala. That's part of the risk. The Gemara says, factor that into the risk. The tovatana should be a tovatana, and the guy will think, part of the risk that I'm paying for is that there's an option that she can go home and be mochel. So what, back to the question, why do you say she can sell a tovatana, and then factor that mechila in the equation? Gemara says, Amre kol legabe ba'al vaday machlale. It's not a risk, it's a vaday. For sure she's going to be mochel. Exactly, which is we're not going to be mafsid the lokeach biyadayim. Which is, it's not a risk. It's a vaday. For sure she's going to mochel it to the husband. Because that's what she's going to do. Why not? She wants to be under good graces of the husband. So therefore, because she's not benefiting anyway. So it's time to make another guy rich. So nobody's going to buy such an option. And we're not going to let an option be sold. So we're back to the question. Oh. It was very good. That's why the Mishnah says Pigiyat Hanra'ah. Because Niksem Log, she doesn't have. That's the case. Ketuvah, Tuvat Hanra'ah, you can't sell. Oh, V'chitem Azeminani Aleilu Dechavla Bebe Tuvat Hanra'ah. Why did she sell the Ketuvah to the guy that she owes? Meaning like this. She damaged, somebody shows the guy $1,000. Here, take my Ketuvah. So there's no money out of pocket for him. He's not going to pay a dollar. Just take my Ketuvah. The $1,000 I owe you, I'm giving you the option over here. So therefore, it's not like you're causing... Before we were worried, the guy that's buying the option, you caused the money out of his pocket. He's mafsid. No, give it to the guy directly. It's a push. Here's the ketubah, and therefore, there's a chance he might get paid. Kebara says again, de'im machla legabe ba'al loka mafsid. Right, again, because if she's mohel, the husband, the guy's not going to lose out. De'ashtanami lo midi kayavil, because he's not paying. So therefore, it's no problem. But it doesn't matter. Sof, kol legabe ba'al vaday machla, vatruhe bedina bichdi, lo matrechinan. At the end of the day, we're not going to inconvenience bedin for nothing. Which means, now, you want, go give it to him, make a star, make a document up. She sold tovat hana'ah to this guy for the other, all the paperwork and everything. And then 2 seconds later, she's going home vaday and being mohel. We're not going to be matriyah bedin on an item that's never going to come to fruition. So therefore, we understand our Mishnah. The reason why it's pigi'atan ra'ah, because she has nothing to pay with. Niksimilok she doesn't have. Yeah? Niksimilok she doesn't have. Ketubah she has, but tubatana'ah she cannot sell, because such a sale will not be valid, because she can always be mochel, so we're not going to put the lokeah at a loss. And even to give it to the one that she was chovel, we're not going to allow it, because even though there's no money out of his pocket, because we're not going to be matriyah bedin bichdi.
So basically, we learned in our Mishnah that if a person damages a lady, so we said pigiatan ra'ah, if you damage them, you have to pay, and if they damage you, they don't have to pay. And the simple explanation is they have nothing to pay. What are they going to pay? So the Gemara said that maybe you should make them sell the ketubah. Let them sell the option of the ketubah. The option of the ketubah is that they can sell it to a person. And the explanation is, if there's a payout on the ketubah, that person will get the payout. How is there a payout? Either she gets divorced or the husband dies. On the other side, there might not be a payout. If she dies before the husband, so the ketubah goes to the husband. So if the guy loses out on his option. So let us sell the ketubah. So the Gemara went back and forth and came out. It's not an option. It's not an option to sell the ketubah. And that's why Pigi Atan Ra'ah. Therefore they have nothing to sell, and therefore there is no payment. So the Gemara said, "Ela haditanya, you tell me that why the lady does not have to sell her ketubah for payment for habala? What do you mean? We have a braita la haditanya vechenhi." Actually, it would be beneficial for us to read a sikum at this point, just to set us up for going further. Kishisha nisu'a chavla ba'adam echad, rachid. She damages the guy. She's married. En anu mechayivim otar limkor et ikar ketubata. We do not obligate her to sell the ketubah. Ve'latet et demea mechera nizak. And we said the reason is over here because it's going to put the lokeah at a disadvantage. Because what is she going to do? She's going to be mohelet. Which means she's going to sell the option to the guy, to somebody else. She's going to go home to her husband. She's going to tell her husband, "I'm mohel the ketubah." So the lokeah for sure is going to lose out. And therefore we're not going to put the lokeah at a disadvantage to buy an option that for sure is never going to come to his advantage, because she'll always be mohelet. Furthermore, even to the nizak, which means let's say she sells the option to the nizak, to the one that she damaged. There you say, it's no loss, no out of pocket, which means she owes the nizak $1,000. So you know what? Forget about the $1,000 that I owe you. You have my option. I'll give you the ketubah option. There you might say, it should work. But the Gemara says, it's not going to work either. That even though she'll be mohel, the guy doesn't lose out anything. But we're not going to matriya betin to write up the transaction and to make this whole thing on something that we know is she's going to be mohel anyway. So therefore, after the zakat smo, and anu mechayvim otar laknot et zechut giviyat demei ketubah, afa pisha bederizu en shum chashash efsed lo kayach, shum shakot panim en beze shum toelet. There's no benefit. Shegam b'mikre zeh b'vaday temchol et ketubah leba'ala. She's going to forgive the ketubah, and then we're not going to bother Betty to make up a shtar on a transaction that has no purpose. Ulam, im yesh le'isha nechse milog. Let's say a lady has nechse milog. Let's review what nechse milog is. That's item that she owes. She owns the goof, and the husband's able to eat the perot. Nechse sum barzil was the nechassim that she brings into the marriage. That's called nedunya, like the dowry. The husband assumes responsibility. He owns the dowry, and he just has to compensate her for the dowry in the case of a divorce. The dowry is considered his, nechsesum barzeh, whereas nechsesum milog, or nechsesum milog is hers, and the money goes to the perot as the husband's. In any event, mechayvim otal limkorat nechassim alalu, v'leshalem l'nizag v'dvehem abur hanezik. In that case, where it's nechsesum milog, the Gemara said that we are obligated to sell the nechsesum milog in order to pay the damages. B'mikre zeh, eni yikolal limkorat nechassim b'al kama maleh. She cannot sell these properties, nechsem milog, in full value. Neshishum lokeach lo yishtuba avoram skum kazeh, mepnesh tepirotem shu nechsem milog sheikhim lebaal, because manchi nesu'a lo. You see, nobody's going to pay full value for the nechsem milog, because the pirot are being eaten still by the husband. Gam et guf hakak ene yichola lemkor, kak shalokeh bevaday yekabel pirot hakak alachar mota. Which means, and you cannot sell it again, you're only selling an option on the nechsem milog. She's selling on the tzad that her husband dies, then the item, the nechsem milog, will go to the lokeah. Okay, or let's say she gets divorced and things like that. And that what Al Mishnah said, that Isha Pigi Atan Ra'ah was talking when she does not have nechsem milog. Let's review again. Al Mishnah that said that she doesn't pay, there was no nechsem milog. But if there was nechsem milog, in Echanami would say to sell the option, and that was it. Now, regarding, there's a question that Tosfot asked over here. We learned earlier, we said that there's a case of Edim Zomimim. Edim Zomimim are coming to be mafsid, a lady from her ketubah. They came along and said, Me'edim Anu, this lady got divorced, and she got paid the ketubah. So we said, how much do they have to pay? We don't make them have to pay the whole ketubah that we're trying to be mafsid, because who knows if the ketubah would have ever been paid out. but you have to make them pay the tovat hana'a of the ketubah. How much could this lady have sold the option of the ketubah on the side that it would have been paid? How much is the guy willing to pay for that option? But Tosfot asked, we just learned over here that we never make a lady sell a ketubah, sell the option of a ketubah. Because we said we don't want to put the lokeach in a bad position, because she could always be mohel. So the chalad, the edim zomim, should have to pay nothing. Because we never come to such a situation. So Tosfot says there's a difference between when a lady is forced to sell her ketubah, or when she's doing it on her own volition. In our case, so we were talking about when she damaged somebody. Now she's forced to sell the ketubah to make a payment to the guy she damaged. In that case over there, we're concerned that she might be mohel. But in the case where she, on her own, where she just wants extra money in her pocket, why should she be more? She doesn't hurt her to sell it, and she could not be more. So in the case of the Edim Zumimim, still much she could have done it willingly. But Shekin, it was done, Baal Korhan, we're concerned about the Mechida. Now the Gemara comes along and continues on this. You're telling me why we don't let her sell the Ketubah Ve'la Hadetanya. Ve'cheni Shechabla Be'ba'ala. Let's say she damaged her husband. Lo Efsida Ketubata, which means we do not let her lose her ketubah for the payment. Amai, why not? Tizza binina nihale lichtubata lebala betubatana'a bi'ay habala. Let us sell the tubatana'a, the option to the husband himself. The e mahla legabe ba'a lekapeseda. Which means, even if she's going to be mohel ketubata husband, there's not going to be any hefsed. We were worried about what? She's going to sell to somebody else, she's going to be mohel the ketubah. But let's say the case where she damaged the husband and stuff. She owes the husband now $1,000. So let her just tell the husband, oh, listen, in the side that the ketubah is going to be paid out, I'm giving it to you. The ketubah money belongs to you. And we're not worried about it. Let her be mohel. Let her be mohel. The husband doesn't lose any money by her being mohel. There's no money out of his pocket that he has to pay. So you see what? You see that there is a case where if a lady damages, we will use the ketubah as the payment. Yeah. So comes Gabran says, Habadai Rabbi Meiri. That's Vadai Rabbi Meir. De Amar Asul Adam Shashit Ishto Afilu Shahat Belo Ketubah. Which means we have a rule that says what? Rabbi Meir says we don't want to leave a lady in a situation even for a moment without a ketubah. And therefore what? We don't want her to sell it. That's why it says V'chini she'chabla be'bala lo efsida ketubata. We're not going to mafsid the ketubata. The Gemara question, why not? Let us sell it. No, it's going to be me'ir. Once already, she's going to give the option to the husband. It's like he has no ketubah. He now has the option. And we don't want a man to live with a wife even for a second. What's the logic? Because it's easy to get divorced. Easy to get divorced now because he doesn't have to make any payments. He can just give her a get and goodbye. So give us away. That's so fast. The ta'amamai, what's the reason why we don't want a lady to live even for a minute without a ketubah? Kedeshelo teqalla be'inav lotzia. Right? We don't want it to be easy for him to divorce her. Hacha migaresh la vegavele b'chabale mina. Which means, what are you talking about? Over here, on the contrary, under here, it's going to be still easy to divorce. Why? Because in this case, it doesn't apply. She damaged him. Okay? She owes him $1,000. Okay? It's going to be very easy to divorce, even with a ketubah. Why? Because he knows once he gets divorced, he gets paid his $1,000 back via the ketubah that he's not going to have to pay. Again, there's a ketubah over here. Is this ketubah going to stop the guy from getting divorced? No. Normally it does, but not in this case. When she owes him money, on the contrary, it's a duty. Let me get divorced, and now I'm even with her. Now I don't got to pay the ketubah, because she owes me the $1,000, so instead of giving the $1,000 for the ketubah, we're even now. So therefore, in this case over here, it's not going to help you, even without selling the ketubah. Either way, it's still easy for the guy to get divorced once she owes him money. Gemara's language is Ve'acha migareshla. Over here anyway he'll be migareshla. Ve'gavele b'chabala mina. And he'll take the money from the chabala from her. I'achi hashtaname migareshla ve'gavele b'chabala mina. Which means here also, in this case over here,
that you're going to tell me, oh, we don't want to be makneh the ketubah to the husband. Why? Because once you're makneh the ketubah, it's easy. Even without being makneh the ketubah to the husband, it's still a situation where the husband's going to have an easy chance to be divorcing. Because she owes money, and therefore she owes money, the ketubah is worthless to him. The ketubah is not a, slow him down. Normally, what's the pshat in the ketubah? I got to pay $2,000, you know what? Okay, I'm not getting divorced so fast. But if she owes him $2,000, so I have a credit, why not? Get divorced, the ketubah means nothing to me. Anyway, it's going to get to free. So therefore, the Gemara's question is, let's answer the Gemara's question. Once you're telling me that, then let her sell the ketubah b'tumat tana'ah. The reason why you told me you cannot sell this ketubah b'tumat tana'ah is because like the Bimir. And the Bimir holds that why we don't want a lady to be without a ketubah for a second. But it doesn't apply in this case. Because even if she didn't sell the ketubah tana'ah, the ketubah over here is not going to slow him down. Therefore, we should go back to the regular rule and say what? Let us sell the ketubah b'tumat tana'ah to the husband. Why are you telling me pigiatan ra'ah? Adraba, sell the ketubah tana'ah, and he gets paid. So the Gemara says, Kegon, the nefish ketubata. Because we're talking about over here that it's a big ketubah. The mishuma hu purta, vom mafsid tuva. Which means for the small amount of the nezek, he's not willing to lose the bigger money. What's the case talking about? The Gemara's understanding over here. Now let's say he wrote in the ketubah, Tosefet ketubah. You can buy as much money as you want in the ketubah that he's going to pay the lady. Instead of, let's say, the 100 or the 200 standard ketubah of maneh, he wrote, let's say, I don't know, 10,000. He wrote a big price. But the demeh habala is a small amount. The demeh habala is, a small amount of money. Mm-hmm. Right? So the guy now is not going to get divorced so he can get paid 100, yes, while the divorce is going to cost them now 9,000. So therefore, it's not worth it for him. So therefore, in this case over here, we want the ketubah still to be in play, because the ketubah will be a deterrent. If she's going to sell the ketubah tana'ah, so now already, there's no ketubah, that's easy for him to get divorced. So therefore, we're going to come along and say that there's no option to sell the ketubah. Why is there no option? Even with the ketubah, we said it's easy. It's not easy, because the ketubah has to pay 10,000. Correct? So you're not going to want to get a divorce so fast. So, oh, if I get to that, I get 100 in my damages. That's no incentive. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the ketubah, even according to Bimeir, is in play, and therefore it's not going to slow him down. It is going to slow him down, and that's why we're not going to tell her to sell the ketubah to him, because then there's not going to be a ketubah in play at all. Then for sure it's going to be easy for him to get divorced. And with the ketubah, it'll slow him down. The Gemara's whole question was, even with the ketubah, he don't care. No, with the ketubah, he cares. Because the demeh habala is not as much as the damages that are owed. So comes the Gemara and says, "V'id nefisha ketubata miktubah deoraita." And if you tell me that a ketubah is more than a regular ketubah deoraita, ketubah deoraita is 100, let's say. So let's say he wrote 100 or 200, depending on if it's a be'ula or betula. Betula is 200 and be'ula is 100. But if the ketubah, let's say, is more than the regular ketubah deoraita, nukma a ketubah deoraita. It's very simple. Keep the ketubah deoraita in play, let's say the 100 or the 200, and let her sell the option on the tosefet, which means she damaged the husband. What are you telling me? She cannot pay, she doesn't have to pay, why not? She has something. Keep the. You're saying to me, you need to have a ketubah always. Okay, good. Keep the ketubah of that we're not selling, that you have to pay. So the husband will not, he has a deterrent. But she has something extra she can sell. The extra tosefet that you owe me on the side that we get divorced or that I become widowed. So you won't have to make that payment, right? Not the kids. It'll go to the husband. Why can't she sell that option? So the Gemara says, "Kegon de lo nefisha ketubah miktubah deoraita." Oh, the case is talking about where the ketubah is a minimum ketubah, there's no tosefet in the ketubah, therefore she doesn't have that option to sell the extra item. The Gemara gives an example. Let's say the whole damages was 4 zuz. 25 zuz is 100 maneh. So therefore, the guy is not willing to pay 25 in order to get 4. So therefore, the option in our story was, again, the lady damaged the husband. It's a minimum ketubah. It's 100. Okay? The damage was only 4. 4 zoos. The ketubah is 25 zoos. 25 is 100 money. So there's nothing to sell. There's no option over here to sell. Because to sell the option to the husband, you can't live without a ketubah. So that's not an option that could be made. You have to have a ketubah. Sell the Tosefet is not Tosefet. Okay, but the Gemara will ask a simple question. Even with a ketubah, the husband's very easily divorcing because he knows he can offset the ketubah with the money that she owes. There's not going to be so much offset over here because she only owes him 4. He has to pay out 25. So that's not going to be an incentive for him to get a divorce. So therefore, the Braita says, she damages the husband. There is no payment. But in the Chaname, it sounds like in this Gemara, that if there was, let's say, Tosefet in the Ketubah, we would make us sell the option on the Tosefet to the husband, and therefore he gets paid on that side. That, let's say, he won't have to make that payout on the Tosefet, so that's how he gets compensated. But the Ketubah is intact for the Me'ah or the Matayim, so that's going to give him a deterrent from divorcing very quickly, and in that case, you'll have a case where she would have to pay. But in the minimum ketubah, and the damages are very minimal, like the case we said over here, there's no incentive for the husband to make a divorce, to get 4, to give up 25. For clarification, 25 sila'im equals 100 zoos. One sila equals 4 zoos. Okay? That's the Gemara saying over there. So therefore, he's not willing to give 4, sila'im in order to for zoos for a loss of 25 sila'im is not worth it for him. Okay. Ela haditanya. Okay, we have a brighter. Keshem shelo temkor v'itachtav kach lo tafsid v'itachtav. So the Gemara says like this. Keshem shelo temkor. Just like we're not going to make a lady sell her ketubah when she's married. V'tachtav, kach lo tafsid v'tachtav. So too, we're not going to make her lose her ketubah when she is married. What is this referring to? Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, Keshem, shelot temkor, kasekat atachachi kamar, Keshem she'ena yichola limkor, be'oda tachtav, just like she cannot sell the ketubah when she's still married, we're not going to let her sell the ketubah, kach lo tafsid miktubata klum, we're not going to make her lose her ketubah if she damaged somebody. It's her advantage, which means she damages somebody. Sorry, pigyatam na'ah. Just like we're not going to let her sell her ketubah because we want to have a ketubah, so too we won't force her to sell the ketubah, to lose the ketubah, in order to pay back somebody that she damaged. So the Gemara says, hold it. What do you mean? Sometimes we will make her lose the ketubah. Vehidame kegondin fisha ketubata mechtuva deoraita. Oh, like we just said in the Gemara, if her ketubah is more than ketubah deoraita, we're going to force her to sell the option on the tosefet, and therefore she is going to be mafsid ketubah in order to pay for the menezik. The ketubah was 200 is minimum, and then there was one at 10,000. She damaged somebody. What are we going to tell her? Well, on the 200, no, you can't sell that because that we want you to have a ketubah. We don't want your husband to make it easy for him to get divorced. But you might get paid a lot extra. Sell that option on the side that you might get paid. Somebody will be willing to pay money for that because there's a value to that option. And therefore, you see what? Sometimes the lady will be being mafsid the ketubah when the ketubah is more than the standard deoraita. How could this braita come along and tell me that no, there's no such thing? You never be mafsid a lady ketubah. Sometimes you will be mafsid a lady ketubah when she damages. On the Tosefet part, that she has to sell that option to somebody in order to pay the damages. How can the Baraita tell me conclusively you don't do it? Sometimes you do. She goes, no, Amarabah, you don't understand what it said over there. Amarabah, Sefa ata nechtuvat benin dichrin. This Baraita over here, when it said you never lose a ketubah for a lady, we're talking about it in a different case. Sometimes, if the Tosefet is high, we will make the lady sell her the option. That was not the discussion of this Braita.
And the Chanami, sometimes she has to pay the ketubah, she has to sell the ketubah in order to make good on the damages. What this Brat said, she doesn't lose a ketubah, was referring to the advantage of benin dechirin. Okay, what is male children? What is benin dechirin? We discussed this several times already when we learned. Benin dechirin is like this. She's married. Okay, she's married. The husband that she's married to was already married before. He has other children. He has other sons. She's concerned on the side that she dies first, so the husband inherits the ketubah. Correct. However, now when the husband dies, all the children are going to divide the inheritance. Her children, his children, they're all going to divide it equally. What Takanat Benin Dechirin does is, which is written in the Ketubah, is that her children divide her monies of the Ketubah first, and then you divide everything equally. You're not going to split her Ketubah money with his kids. So the Takanat Benin Dechirin is, in the event that she dies first, and the husband is Yoresh Ketubah, and then the husband dies, the money that came from her ketubah should be divided amongst her children, and then everybody else splits the pot equally. Okay?
So
no, we're not talking about. There's not a discussion of Tosefet Ketubah here. If she had a Tosefet Ketubah and she damaged somebody in Echaname, we'd make her sell the option. The discussion of it that she did not mafseed meant she does not mafseed her rights to. Benin dechirin. In which case, the Gemara says, "Keshem shemocheret ketubata leacherim, lo efsida ketubat benin dechirin." Which means, just let's say, if she sold her ketubah, let's say to other people, she is not going to lose the advantage of benin dechirin. Which means, like this. What did we learn earlier? Takanat Usha. Takanat Usha taught us if a lady sells her ketubah to somebody else, okay. And then let's say she dies. The husband is able to go to the lekuchot and take it back. And we said the reason why Takanat Usha was instituted was because the Beit Din understood when a guy gets married, he sees his wife has certain assets. That's why he married her to a certain degree. Now all of a sudden she's going to go sell these assets, or it's going to cause eba. So Takanat Usha said, she sold them. She saw she was pressed for money, she was pressed for cash, needed the money, and she sold it. Don't worry. The husband, you're not going to lose out. When she dies, you can go right back to the lokeh. Okay, thank you, I'm going to take this item back. So you would have, in that case over there, halakha says, the benin dechirin rule still applies. You might have said, hey, listen, you saw the ketubah, so you don't care about benin dechirin, you don't care about nothing, which means her children now are still going to benefit from splitting that money when the husband dies. And the other sons cannot say, your mother didn't care about you, or she sold it. So therefore, you're not going to, why should you get an advantage over us? Halakha says, no, when a lady sells her ketubah because she's pressed for money, she does not lose the advantage of, the children do not lose the advantage of benin dechirin. Similarly, when she sells the ketubah to her husband, when is she going to sell the ketubah to her husband? For example, let's say she damaged the husband. Okay? So he said, what? She sold the tosefet option to the husband. Oh, so therefore the deen is, lo efsida ketubat benin dechirin, my tama zuzehu de ansuha, because she was pressed when she had orders to sell the money, which means, a lady, let's say, damaged the husband. So what do we say?
She damaged the husband?
Yeah, she damaged it. She owes the money to the husband. Okay. So she sold the option of the ketubah to the husband, the tosefet part.
Right.
Okay, now what happens? She died. What happens in the end? The husband Joresh, all this money comes to him now. Okay? So now, he dies eventually. So now you have benin dechirin, you have the other children. So now the other children might come along and they'll say, you know what? Your mother didn't care about the ketubah. She sold it already to our father. She sold the option already. So therefore, maybe they can have a claim and say, what? We're not giving you any more. You don't deserve any more than us. Kamash ma'alan. Just like a lady, if she sells her ketubah to somebody else, she doesn't lose benin dechirin options. The children don't lose the benin dechirin options. So too, when she sells it to her husband, they don't lose the benin dechirin options. That's all this braita was discussing over here. That the advantage of benin dechirin is never forfeited. Even if she's forced to sell it for money,
We're not going to take it against the children when eventually they come to inherit. If the other children can't come along and say, well, your mother didn't care about the Keturah, she sold it. Well, why did she sell? She needed the money. Why should we now suffer when it's probably coming down the pipe in Yerusha to us? Why should we forfeit our situation? Now look at Rashi. She speaks at this whole thing. Look at Rashi. It's a big one over here. Ketubat benin dechrin. Beperek ma'arash netpateta. Benin dechrin. This is written in the Ketubah. Benin dechrin diyeve lechi minai. Right? The children, the boys that you're going to have from me. Inun yevin yertun. They are going to inherit. Kesef ketubatech yeter al hudakhon. Besides what they're going to inherit on their share, de'im ahuhon, with their brothers. Which means besides the regular Yerusha that they're going to inherit with their brothers, with their half-brothers, but they're going to get an extra advantage to divide amongst themselves the mother's ketubah. For example, Hayu lo shtei nashim, uktubat ha'echad gedola mishil chaberta. One ketubah is bigger than the other. Umetu shtehen b'hayat. So they both died when it was also inherited both ketubot. V'yarshan, o achat b'hayav. Or let's say one died when he was alive. The Yarsha Afapichin lo batla ketubah ta etzel baneha. Even though she didn't get a payout, but the ketubah still has an application against her children. Im yesh la ben zachar hemena ushebain lachlok banav benechasav achar moto. When the children come now to divide the estate after the father dies, notlin elu ketubat iman ve'elu ketubat iman. Each one divides the ketubah of their mother first. Then they split the rest of the estate equally. The lady that's, let's say one of them is still alive, let's say, right? One died, and now you have one lady that's kayyamet, and then the husband dies. Lomar, anu nitol ketubat imenu, shei kebaalat hov, which means, we're going to take the ketubah of our mother, ve'atem al titlu she'en emechem ketubah share ba'ala yarsha. Again, the children, let's say one of them died. Okay, so that money went to the husband. One of the ladies is still alive. And now what? When the husband dies, so the lady gets the ketubah, the one that's alive. So the children of the live lady cannot say, hey, listen, your mother never was zocheh to get a ketubah. Adrabah, our father inherited it. So therefore, we're going to take our mother's ketubah, because that came to our mother. And regarding the ketubah of your mother, it never went to that you should be yoresh. It went to our father, we're going to be yoreshit equally. They cannot do that. All the ketubah is already protected to the benin nechrin. Now let's say a case where lady sold a ketubah. לאחר, בטובת הנאה, הוא מת בחיי בעלה, וירשה, מפסיד הלוקח, well, we don't take that usha means, that once, let's say, she dies, so now the husband is able to go to the lokeach and take the field back, whatever she sold. She sold the ksim log, whatever she sold, able to take the fields back. אף על פי כן, לא הפסידו בניה כתובה בנים דחרים. But the children, still better. ולא יאמרו בני חברתה. And the other sons cannot say, אמכם פש אבא. Your mother didn't care about the כתובה. שאילו הייתה קיימת, לא הייתה קובעה. If she was alive, she would not get paid כתובה. Which is if the husband died, that כתובה would have went to that guy. So you see, your mother didn't care about בנים דחרים. Because she already forfeited it. In this case, happened to be, she died first. Okay, which means if the husband would have died, what would have happened? The lokeach gets everything. So therefore the other children want to claim, your mother already forfeited benin dechrin. Because on this, she sold the ketubah to somebody else. When is the guy going to benefit from this ketubah? On what side? Option. Option that she died, that the husband dies. Husband dies, so the ketubah is supposed to go to the lady. She sold the option to that guy. Happened to me, it didn't work out that way. Happened to me, she died. The deed is what? The husband takes the ketubah from that guy. So the other children want to say, hey, we should give you an advantage on the benin dechrin. Your mother was poshaya on the ketubah. She was willing to give it up. Can't say that. Mishum de'amri lehu zuzeh ansur. Because they come along and say, what do you want? Our mother was pressed for money. She needed the money. It's not her fault. שהייתה סליחה למעות, ולא עשו את הכוונה, she didn't do it for maliciously. She did it in order for money. So similarly, just like when a lady sells her ketubah for money, the binin dichrin still applies. So too, when she's mohel the ketubah to her husband, let's say she damaged the husband and things like that, so she's mohel the ketubah to tosef to her husband, and now she dies, the other children cannot come along and say, what do I mean? Your mother, she already forfeited the ketubah. They can say, no, she only forfeited it to the husband because she was honest, she was pressed for money. Therefore, when indeed she does die, and the husband is yoresh the ketubah, then he dies, you split the binin dechrin accordingly, and then everything else is split separately. Which means you might have thought to say that once already she showed a little disrespect for the ketubah, in the sense that she sold it to another guy, so now the children of the first husband come along and say, well, you want now that it came back to our father, and you want to inherit your mother's ketubah that she was sold? She didn't care about you, because on the side that the husband would have died, you wouldn't get anything. You got zero. The ketubah was sold to somebody else. So kamash malan, that no, the Braita is just saying over here that the benin dechrin takana always applies whenever a lady had to sell her ketubah for money. She was anusa, and therefore she was pressed. Therefore, the din is the benin dechrin stays. Comes the Gemara and says, lema takanat usha tanaehi. Okay, let us say that this subject of takanat usha is a actual machloka. Let's review takanat usha quickly. That's the case where a lady has neximilog. Neximilog means she has the goof, and the husband is the perot. Halakha says, normally speaking, without takanat usha, she has the goof. The one that has the goof is controls. She could technically sell it. What would that mean? Once already she dies, that money should go to lokeya. However, takanat usha said no, that when she dies, so now the husband can pull it back from the lokeya. So we want to say that that is indeed a mahlokan amongst the tanaim. Why? Tani hada avde milog. Okay, by the way, besides fields being log, you can have avadim milog. She brought avadim into the marriage, she owns the avid, and the husband benefits from the perot, from the work of the avid. It's called avde milog. Avde milog yotzin b'shen ve'ayin le'isha. Which means, let's say the lady punched the eye out, or punched the tooth out of the avid, so the avid can, and he goes out free. Avalo le'ish, but let's say the husband punched the eye out, or the tooth out, does not go free. That's one item. V'tanya idak, lo le'ish, lo le'isha. No matter who hits, and knocks out the eye or the tooth, the avid does not go free. Savruha, the Gemara wants to understand the machloket. The kule alma kenyan perot lav ke kenyan aguf tameh. Which means everybody's going to agree that the one that owns the perot does not have rights. The perot is not considered kenyan aguf. If you say perot is kenyan aguf, then that means the husband has the ownership. No, the one that has the perot does not own the guf. Osra mus the machloket. Ma la ba kame palget. Demand the man the isha. The one that says the isha, meaning if the isha hits the avid, the avid goes out free. Let le takanat usha, and therefore the kinyan of the perot of the husband cannot hold back what the lady does. Which means, if you don't know takanat usha, that means the one that owns the goof can do whatever he wants. Without takanat usha, the lady could sell it. Without takanat usha, the lady owns the avid, right? Knocks the avid to that, he'll go free, and the perot of the husband cannot hold back. And the opinion that says that no matter who knocks out the tooth, the avid doesn't go out free. Why? She can't, he can't send her free because he only owns perot. She can't send him free because she owns the goof, and the takarat usha puts it back to the husband. So therefore the mahlokan over here is really based on, do you hold the takarat usha or not? Gemara says, lo. I can give you a couple of options differently to explain the bright. How? Bright thought. The kula alma itu takanat usha. If everybody holds takanat usha, so the chaura, how can you say the lady, if she knocks out the tooth, the avid goes free? The chaura takanat usha always brings it back to the husband. Ela kan, konem takana, kan lahar takana. Okay. One bright is talking about before takanat usha. Before takanat usha, the lady knocks the tooth out, go free. After takanat usha, no. Two different times in history.
I can tell you both brides are talking about if Tekrat Usha. We eat no Tekrat Usha, everybody holds a Tekrat Usha. So what's the machlokin? Ela lemanda amad le'isha, halo le'ish. So what's the shita that says that the lady can knock the teeth out, the knocks will do that, the guy goes free, the guy goes free. What do you mean? What about Tekrat Usha? My tama, kedaraba, the amaraba, hekdesh, hamez, vishihrur, mafki'in midesh, i'bud. Okay, case that we learned earlier. Let's say a guy, let's say, owes money. He borrowed money. And he makes, let's say, an animal, apoteki. What's apoteki? He comes on this, if I don't pay you, apoteka'e, you could take my shor. Meaning he designated the shor as guaranteed collateral that the malve, in the event that the loveh doesn't pay, the malve can come and take it. Or let's say he made hametz. He has hametz, let's say, in his possession. He made an apoteki. Or he made shechrut, he made his eved. Kanani, apoteki. What did he do? Hikdesh, Hamet, Vishihrur, Magdishi, Mafkiimi, Deshur. Then what did he do? He made the short Hikdesh. The guy who owes the money, he made the short Hikdesh. Then the guy can get paid. That Hikdesh overrides the Shi'bud. Which is now you can't go after. You can't come along and say, what do you mean? But you promised me. Hikdesh, sorry. You can't go after. Or let's say, Hamet. It was Hamet now that the Yisrael had. He called the Goy that he owed money to. By the way, the Hametz is the apoteki. Now it became Hametz Shavar Lava Pesach. Hametz Shavar Lava Pesach is a subhana'ah. Now he cannot benefit. He cannot pay the goy with it because it's a sub. That Hametz Shavar Lava Pesach breaks the obligation that he has to the goy to pay the money. Or let's say Shechrur. He made an Evit Kanaani apoteki. Then what do? He freed him. So now he can't get the money back. That's Lava's Deen. That Hekdesh, Hametz Shavar Lava Pesach, or shechrur is mafki'im, is uprooting the shorbo. Look at the top Rashi. Let's read Rashi. Hekdesh. Asa shoro apoteki de baal chobo. Vechazal lo veze vikdisho kedushat aguf lemezbeah. He made it mamash kedushat aguf, meaning korban, lemezbeah. Shi'abude de malve umutar lemezbeah. Hefkiyah shi'abude de malve. He uprooted the shi'abuda to the malve, and now he puts on the mezbeah. Ve'en bo mishum gezel. Not even Mishum Gezel. Sheshevach Hekdesh Mafki'o, which means the Hekdesh is able to uproot it. Ho'il veloya kanudu mamash. Because really he didn't, it wasn't the Malvez. He just put it as, he designated it. So it's really still the owner's. Since it was just designated to make a payment, therefore it's not considered stealing. Ela omed degabot. Emenu vedavka kedusha. Because then Rashi goes on a side point. Okay, now go to the next Rashi. Hametz. Hametz. Nukri shilvayt Yisrael. Nukri lent money to a Jew. Al hamso, which means, and the hametz became like a collateral. Velo erino itzlo, which means the Jew didn't give the hametz to the goy. The hametz is still in the Jew's possession. The mechosar govaina, he didn't pay yet. It's still by the Jew. Shaya omed the hametz bebetoshi Yisrael. The en ruchli alav ela shi'abud. All he has is a claim on it. Kishema et biuro. Once somebody Pesach comes, mafkia isur hametz and shi'abud and ruchli v'chayav yisir lebaharoyz. I got to burn the hametz, right? Let's say that case. The Pesach comes, he has to make biur hametz. V'adit nami Pesachim. Okay, that's fine.
So how could you burn my?
Now. I can just burn my item, doesn't matter. Shihrur, Asa Abdu Apotki Vishihrero. Hello, Ve, Mishra, Vigobezi, Tomor, Komahayer. Oh, so therefore, let's go apply Rava's Deen to this case over here. Yeah, everybody holds up Takanat Usha. And therefore, what's the case over here? You have a lady that has Avde Milug. What do we say? Punches the eye out, goes free. I already thought Takanat Usha says that since the husband owns Perot, so therefore it stays by him. Oh, but since we hold of Rava, and Rava says that the husband has a shi'bud on this Eved, but shi'rur is able to override the shi'bud. So therefore that's what that shita holds. Really, I hold of Takanat Usha, but I hold that shi'rur of an Eved overrides a shi'bud that somebody else has. That's why he says that the Isha is able to do such a thing. So the Gemara says, Lema de Rava Tana'ehi. Oh, so comes out what? That's the machlok in the Braita. Because one Braita says the lady can do it, and the other Braita says no, none of them can do it. So therefore, obviously, they hold it to Shechrur, does not mean Mafkiya. It was Lo, the Kula'ama, Itu, the Rabbah. Be'acha, Alemua, Rabbanan, the Shechrur, the Ba'al. Which means, really, I'll tell you, generally speaking, everybody holds Rabbah's Deen, that when I lend money, and I make my Eved in a Poteki, and then I free him, he's freed. The Machloken in this case is over here, that the rabbi that says the lady cannot free the Eved,
holds that in the case of a marriage, the rabbi strengthened the shi'bud of the husband, that we're not going to allow the lady's freeing to override his shi'bud. She's generally speaking out of a marriage, regular loan, in a kaname. I make my eved an apoteki, then I come along and free him. That's it, sorry. He's free. The machloket in this case is, did they say the same thing when it comes to a marriage? According to one braita, no, bottom line, all the husband has on this eved is perot. He has a shabud. The lady wants to come and free him? No problem. That's Rava's din. Shabud is overridden by a shahrur. The other shita says, yes, generally speaking, yes, but in a marriage, we're going to strengthen the shi'bud of the husband so much that the freedom of the lady is not going to work. So everybody holds of Rava. But the questions that they hold of Rava is principle, even in the case where there's a marriage. Good. Another answer, the answer to Blaitot. Oh, really, I can tell you, both rabbis don't hold of Usha. Oh, let's speak out for a second. They don't hold of Usha. So everybody should say the lady should be able to free David. So Yamara says, the mahalok it is, does Kinyan Perot give you the goof? If you're the Kinyan Perot gives you the goof, that's why the lady cannot free David, because really it's by the husband. But if you hold that Kinyan Perot is nothing, the one that has the goof is the main one, that's why she can. So the mahalokah over here is, because he can't do it because, and a good question, why can't he do it? If he has the Perot, and you know that Kinyan Perot is Kinyan Aguf, he should be able to free. Why did the Tanah, the Braita say, neither of them can? Good question. So the Gemara says, אבל הברית השנייה סובת שקיים פירות יאמר כקניין הגוף ולכן קניינו פוגם בקניין הגוף של האישה ואין העבד יוצא על ידה לחרות וגם על ידי הבעל אינו יוצא. Why? אף על פי שקניין פירות שלו נשאב קניין הגוף מכיוון שאינו קניין הגוף ממש. It's like, but he doesn't actually have the goof. Okay. In any event, ufnukta dari tanae. And really, this concept of kinyan perot kinyan aguf is machloket tanaim. Where do we see it? The tanya hamocher avdo leacher. Okay, guy sold his eved kanaani to a guy, another guy. Okay, famous story. Upasak emo amenat shishemshenu shloshim yom. But the deal was, I'm selling it to you, but I got 30 days left to use them. So basically, he sold the goof to the guy, and he's keeping perot for 30 days. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rishon Yeshno Bedin Yom O Yomayim Mepnei Shehu Tachtav. Okay, let's review the law of Yom O Yomayim. Regular law outside of Eved Kenani. Guy hits somebody. The guy dies. Hayamita. Let's say the guy dies as a result of the Makkah 2 days later. It doesn't matter. He dies 1 week later. Bottom line, eventually if the guy dies, Hayamita. But the law of Eved Kenani is different. It says that damage the Eved. If he dies within 1 or 2 days, Yahayam Mitan the Eved Kanani. Anytime after 1 or 2 days, Ach, the language is Ach im yom o yomayim ya'amod. He gets up. No, you can't, ki kaspohu. Finished. So there's a 2 day window, Legabe and Eved Kanani. Oh, so now the question is like this. The guy sold this Eved Kanani to the guy. He kept him up for 30 more days. So the guy that kept him for 30 days, the law of Yom or Yomayim applies to him. And if he hit him in the interim, and he died after 2 days, you can't kill that guy. Even though he only has Perot. Even though he only has work. The goof really owns to somebody else. Which means you could argue and say, listen, you only have Perot. He's a regular guy to you. Therefore, if you hit him, I don't care when he dies, you're going to be Hayav Mita. So the Dean of the Braita says, no, that what? Because he's by me, therefore fine. Kasavar, what does he hold? Obviously the shita, kinyan perot, kinyan aguftame. He must know that the one that has the perot is like the kinyan on the goof, and therefore it's like a regular, it's like his eved. Therefore, the yom or yomayim will applies. The Yehuda omer sheni yeshno bedin yom or yomayim mipteshu kaspo. The Yehuda says the opposite. The law of yom or yomayim applies to the second guy who bought it. Why? Because he must hold that the guy that has the perot doesn't hold on to the goof, and the guy has the goof is the ikar, and therefore the deen of
Yom Yomam is going to apply to the one that bought him. Oh, that's the next shita. Rabbi Yosei Omer, Shnehem Yeshnam Bedin Yom Yomayim. Which is going to be lenient on both opinions. Both of them have the din of Yom Yomayim. Why? Zeh Mepneshu Tachtav Vezeh Mepneshu Kasmo. Listen, this guy because he has the pirot, and that guy because he has the goof. Well, make up your mind, Rabbi Yosei. What do you hold in the law of goof and pirot? So Gemara says, you know what he holds? Mesafkele. He has a safek. Kinyan perot, iki kinyan aguf tameh, ilav kinyan aguf tameh. Therefore, safek nefashot lakil. I'm not going to kill a guy on a safek. Which means, maybe the perot is the ikar. Therefore, I have to be lenient. I have to give him the yom yomai rule. If the guy dies 3 days later, I'm not going to treat him like a regular guy. I'm not treat him like an evzgarani. But maybe the goof is the ikar. So I can't kill that guy either. I got to give him the yom yomai rule as well. You see, the yom yomai rule saves the murderer. So therefore, I'm a sabisupak. Supak, safek, and therefore go both ways. Rabbi Eliezer goes the other way. Four shitote. Rabbi Eliezer omer, Shnehem enam bedim yom yomayim. Like both of them, you treat him like a regular guy. Ze, levi she'eno tahtav. Which means the second guy, it's because he's not by him. He doesn't have him. Veze levi she'eno kaspo. And the guy that's working him, it's because he doesn't own him. He only owns the pedo, which means both of them do not own the Eved. Right? So if you hit him, you treat him like a regular guy. And therefore, even if he dies 3 days later, no saya. So they basically have four shitot over here. Okay, Kavzi Gavra says, Amarava, Baitabad Rabbi Eliezer. What's the logic over here of Rabbi Eliezer? So it says, Amar Kera, Ki Kaspohu. And Torah gives the Yom Yomayim rule. It says, the reason why you have Yom Yomayim, because it is his asset. Okay? Kaspohu. So he's Doresh. Kaspo amiyuhad lo. It's got to be yours alone. Miyuhad. Once already there's somebody else involved, there's no deed of yom yomayim. It's got to be kaspo amiyuhad. Okay, so bottom line, what do we say over here? Fantastic machlok, do we say kinyan perot gives you the kinyan aguf or not? Indeed, it's a machlok amongst the Tanaim, Keman Azad Amar, Amemor. We have a statement of Amemor. Ish v'isha. Okay. Shemachru ben nechsem midlog. Lo asu velo kinum. Okay, you have a husband and a wife. Together, collectively, they sold the nechsem midlog. Let's review. Nechsem midlog is the perot belongs to the husband and the lady owns the goof. The Gemara says, if they collectively sell it, the sale is not binding. Who's that going like? Keman Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer says,
They both
do not have a full kinyan on it.
No, it doesn't matter.
But they both do not have a full. It's got to be miyuhad. It's got to be to give the rights to sell. It's got to be totally belonging to one. Because according to the other shitot, either you hold perot, so the one has the perot has the right to sell it, or you hold goof, the one has the goof has the right to sell it. But if you say both of them do not have the right to sell it, that means because Jordan has to be miyuhad to one of them, and since this one owns the first one owns the goof, therefore the sale is not going to be considered a sale. Now again, this is talking about over here, for example, Shemach, you sold an Eved.
So now they sold
their
property.
You sold an Eved Milog. Mechsem Milog can be an Eved Milog. Sorry. Lo asu velo kilum. On the bottom, Rashi. She'eno lo lezeh velo lezeh. Now, ve'im met ehad mehem. Oh, if one of them died, so zehan nish'al motzi mideh halekuchot. So then the other one would be able to take it out of the likuchot, meaning that's the way that she's learning that it's not a sale. Which is, nafkamina, they sold it to this guy. Okay, they sold it. The sale's a sale. But nafkamina, if one of them dies now, the other one can go to the likuchot and
take it back.
Velodamu leshutafin de alma. It's different than partners. They had them yeshazechenek bekulo. In partners, I own 50% full ownership of the Eved on 50%, and you own full ownership of the Eved on 50%. Perot and goof. That's different. Now, chicken here, I own the perot of it, and you own the goof of it. So, in that case over there, you're not be able to sell it. That's according to the B in the Eved. Look at what he says over there. Shekeshem. Kemosh the B in the Eved Omer. Shemesh the Had Kinyan Perot B'Havis Mesuyam. And the Hadish Kinyan Goof. It's not considered miyuhad, not to this guy, not to that guy. Ve'lachem, be'eved kazesh l'shneim, en petur yom yomayim. Like we learned earlier, there's no petur yom yomayim. Because bottom line, I don't own it fully, you don't own it fully. Kach omer amor b'nechsem melok shel isha, she'en echad mem yachol demokro, ve'afilu shneim be'yachad. אין יכולים למוכרו, מכיוון שלאישה יש לה קניין הגוף, ולבעל קניין פירות, במיוחד לזה ולזה. אוקיי? Comes the Gemara and says, next story. Man Tana lehadin to Rabbanan. Who's following this Braita? Who's the author of this Braita? Misha atshu Eved atshu ben Horin. Okay, it's Hef. Hef Eved, Hef ben Horin. How could there ever be that? Let's say you had an Eved of two partners. One guy freed him, one guy didn't. Okay. V'chein Eved shoshe shutafim. Or an Eved has two partners. En yotzin b'rashe evarim she'enam chozrim. Does not go out with the she'evarim she'enam chozrim. Normally, not only she'en v'ayin. He goes that any of the 24 limbs that do not regenerate, the deen of the Eved goes free. So who's the author of this brayta that says, guy's half-half, or he's a partner, his partner's on the Eved, he does not go out with a she'evarim. Amale Rebodechad Rav Asher, hachi amre meshved Ravar, bi Eliezer hi. Why? Mi lo amar bi Eliezer kaspo miyuhad lo? Doesn't it be the answer at all that generally speaking the law of Eved Kanani has to be Kaspo Miyuhad? Which is the law of going out free with Rashi Evarim is Dafka when it's owned by one specific person or it's owned in totality by one person. But over here it's not Miyuhad. Over here it's half free, half Eved. Or over here it's owned by two partners. So therefore the deen is what? Yeah, we're comparing the deen of Yom Yomayim, that it's got to be miyuhad to one person, to the deen of going up in Ashe Evarim, that it's got to be miyuhad to one person. Now you have to say over this partnership is not a regular partnership. Because it was a regular partnership, each guy owns the whole thing. Guf and Perot. You have to say the partnership was this guy owns the Guf, this guy owns the Perot. Because it was a regular partnership, then everybody owns the full of the, well, full of the half. So therefore the deen is Hadush of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, continue. We go to the next Mishnah. Baruch Amen. Amen.